With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is the AFL Round 14 Wrapped. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week?
Got to be the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
I figured one of you or both of you were going to mention that.
I think both of us were planning on it. If you haven't watched it, spoiler alert, or too bad, what the fuck ever. Ricardo, 17th by about lap 6, manages to come all the way back and Bradbury it through. Mainly because Sebastian Vettel lost his fucking mind and ran into the bloke ahead of him under a safety car, which he's done before.
I know nothing about F1, but I saw it. They had the in-car mic playing.
Yeah.
He's like, he's just fucking brake checked me.
Yeah. Which, it's a douche move, but he didn't actually do a full brake check because the brake didn't come on. He just didn't accelerate out of the corner like he expected him to. Right. And normally, if you want to let the safety car get a bit of a lead on, you'll do it on the straight. Like, you'll weave and hold them up. Holding people up on the corner is pretty dumb, especially because you get a loss of downforce, etc.
Speaking of dumb.
Yeah, so Vettel doing that and then goes around beside him and decides to bit of a shunt in the side. That was the fucked up bit. He was lucky not to get DQ'd. So that happened. That was great. Hamilton forgot to pin down his headgear, so he had to come in and fix that up, which put Ricardo in the lead, and he was just fucking loving life after that.
Especially in Azerbaijan, it's not where they expected to win. They expect to win this whole season. And to come through in Shirozi style, in Bradbury style, I thought was very, very impressive.
He got lucky, but the race was brilliant. There was always stuff happening. Lance Stroll was second for most of the race, most of the last stint. And unfortunately got pipped on the line, but he's 18 years old, son of a billionaire, mum's a massive fashion designer or some bollocks.
He's got a hard life.
Yeah.
It's been tough.
It did get harder because up on the podium, Ricardo was taking it pretty easy. And then during the interview, David Coulthard decides to get down on one knee and undo his shoes. So everyone knew what was happening next. Bottas got the fuck out of there.
Yep.
And poor old Lance Stroll was given no choice. He had to do a shoey in front of everyone, the point where he actually spat out little bits and said there was dirt in there.
Yep, there's a bit of an alpha male move, that one. I like it.
Bit of toenail.
Depending on where they are in the world, I mean, I don't know what the drinking age is in that country. But
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that country is, if you've got money, the rules don't necessarily apply.
Probably that as well.
So every country, pretty much.
Pretty much. It's a Middle Eastern country that sort of is wedged between Asia and Middle East. Funnily enough.
So that was amazing.
See, I don't know anything about F1, but what I don't understand is I hear everyone say how Ricardo is the best driver, and yet this is the fifth race he's won in his career.
Yep.
Like, how shit does his car have to be if he's the best driver and that's all he's ever won?
It is pretty ordinary. A lot of it is based on car. They've got a really decent chassis, but a shit engine.
Then why don't the teams with the best engines go, you know what, he's the best driver, we should pay him?
Yeah, well, it's just politics, really. It's okay. A matter of contracts and which drivers are available at certain times. And also, it's always a matter of perspective, really, about who really is the best. So every team's going to say their driver's the best, unless they're really undeniably shit. And Lance Stroll, up until now, has been undeniably shit. Yeah. So it was quite amazing to see him actually snag a podium.
It was good to see him in the instantly when they go into the recovery room. You see him there talking with Bottas, going, "Oh, you're right near me." And you went,
"He's just got me, man."
So Brenton, you got a beer of the week before you get into your highlight?
I do. So this week's beer of the week is, it's getting into winter now, so you start heading towards your darker beers, and I'm something stouty, something to warm you up. But A lot of people, little bitches when it comes to stouts. So I've gone one that's just an entry level into the stout. I've gone for the Old Wives Ale Full Moon. They've just released their American stout called the Horn Swatter. We had a launch for it at the pub on the weekend, and it was good fun. And they released some of their core range. But actually redid the recipe a little bit, just refined it, touched it up, made it a little bit less bitter, a little bit more malty. So it's a black IPA. So perfect way just to ease your way into winter before you start hitting all the barrel-aged high percentage stuff.
Does it taste like liquid Vegemite?
No, it doesn't. It's just good.
Does it come with a head you can eat with a spoon?
No, not unless you want it that way. But it's a good way just to, before your steak breakfast you have on a Sunday morning with your, when you're recovering. This is the one to get into it. And you finish off with a nice barrel-aged stout, which will probably be the beer of next week. I'm tipping.
And your highlight?
My highlight is going across the UFC. A very uneventful card. It's pretty funny how our highlights tend to be F1 UFC related. Yeah. It shows what sport is going on at the moment. But there was a really insignificant card in UFC fucking bumfuck Idaho somewhere.
Chiesa versus Lee as the headline.
I think they had decisions up until like the third fight of the main card or something like that. But anyway, two of the chicks fighting, Felice Herrig and Justine Kish.
Yep.
Neither are really sort of pushing their way up to the top of the rankings, I must say.
Well, Felice Herrig seems more interested in her Instagram influencer status.
I mean, you hear the term kick the shit out of someone a lot thrown around these days. She actually literally choked the shit out of this girl.
Literally did.
So sunk in the no, it wasn't a rear naked choke.
Was it? Yeah,
that's how she finished.
Oh, finished. No, it was before that though. She was in side control, and all of a sudden you see this other mark that's on the canvas there.
It's not blood.
Not blood. Yeah, and it's not hidden. It was all over the canvas.
You say it was. You know, Josh, you've got a kid. I've got kids. I've seen that accident happen before.
Yeah, yep.
Happens many times.
Yeah.
But I like that. So what's her name? Justine Kish.
Yeah.
She owned it on Twitter and just said, you know, I'll come back better than ever. Shit happens.
Yeah.
Oh, Kaka Kish.
That's what you've got to do. And I mean, there are pretty. She's not joining like a down and out club. You've had fucking Tim Sylvia, who's literally shat his pants in Pride. Nice big stain there. Not Hector Lombard. Who's the other Cuban fella?
Yoel Romero.
Yeah. He took a nice big turn in his pants versus someone.
I think famously John Cena said he shat himself once.
Yep.
In the ring.
Yeah, and I mean, it's unusual. Wrestlers all done that on the couch at home when they're passed out, but not usually in the ring. The footy this week's been going to be pretty interesting. Lots of close games. I'm pretty happy that Richmond aren't involved in any of those close games. But one of the toughest things that happens is that when I do the intros for each episode, it's easier when there's a close game because you're just like, all right, sweet, that's going to be the sound grab. Now I feel like we need a longer intro just to put all these close finishes and different sound bites in there.
just pick the one.
Yeah, but on sound bites, one gripe, AFL website, and I'm sure everyone's going to agree with this, do a shit job on putting content online.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yes.
Especially on their YouTube channel, because if I'm going to rip off some sound bites, I'll rip off from a legitimate source. But then I'll put in enough shit on there that I've got to actually go and try and rip off the streamable sound, which usually has a glitch in it. So get your shit together, AFL, YouTube.
I really don't understand the digital age.
The last 12 months, they've really gone hard in cutting out all the other content that other people put up there.
Yep.
I thought, dude, that's just a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Because they're promoting it for free for you.
Yeah, exactly. And like my outro is sort of an example of that. It makes it really hard to put some interesting shit in an intro. So I had to go with Wheeler Walker Jr. last week with a bit of fuck you, bitch.
My highlight of the week, I bought a new laptop finally last week and finally got it home and all set up and everything. And the day after I got it set up, the Steam sales start.
Ah, so how good is that?
I'm a patient gamer, as in I don't play the latest games. I play the games that came out 2 or 3 years ago.
Me too.
I like the random indie games you get. Like I had Car Mechanic Simulator for like $2. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck it, I'll get that.
That game was actually awesome fun. It was educational.
So I had a choice. Do I go GTA 5 or Fallout 4? Because they're my two favourite franchises.
Yep.
Steam sale comes on, get them both cunts.
Oh, shit. When was that?
It's on now.
Sweet. Because I actually came to the same crossroads week before last, where I'm like, I want something to play, but I'm in the category where I can't be too involved because I don't want to put that many hours into it. So something in the middle. Like GTA is always this good call, but looked at the price, I was like, fuck that.
It's $70.
The bundle of like GTA San Andreas, GTA 3, and Vice City in there. It was like $15. I'm like, well, that's my jam now. That's what I'm doing. One of them doesn't work on my computer, but hey, I've got two out of three.
Two
bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like GTA 5 a bit better though.
Yeah. And there was this other game. It was a war simulator on the Vietnam War.
Okay.
I'm like, this is a game me and my missus could enjoy.
Multiplayer.
Okay. People need to know that your missus is Vietnamese. Yeah, I think we've said it once or twice, but otherwise that joke doesn't make sense.
And I was thinking about like...
Or she's just really fucking racist. She fucking loves that war.
It reminds me of the time we were going camping. I think I've told the story on the podcast where...
Go again.
Where we were going along, I can't remember, somewhere in the Alpines, and I was thinking, we'll just go driving and we'll be able to go off-road and we'll find somewhere, you know, we'll just camp. Not in the Alpines, because there's trees either side of the road forever.
Right.
And so I'm like, fuck, it's getting dark. Found this little dirt road to go down. It was off one of the main... I'm pretty sure it's called Old Dandenong Road or Dandenong Road or something like that. Right. I've tried to find it, but I can't find it again. Anyway, it's this literally... Next, it's like a cliff face, more or less. All I can see is on the left-hand side is a canopy of trees. And the trees on my right-hand side are at least probably 40 meters tall. So this has got to be obviously a huge drop down.
Yep.
And so I'm like, fuck, this is precarious. Like going slow as shit. Get to this little opening, which turned out to be in the middle of that little road. I'm like, all right, babe, we'll stop here. We'll camp. Then we'll wait till the sun comes up. Then we'll actually figure out where we can go and where's the best place to actually camp for good. And she's like, nah, can't do it here. I'm like, what do you mean can't do it here? She's like, well, we're blocked off. Like, you got people block off one side, people block the other side, and then we're fucked. I'm like, baby. We're in the middle of nowhere. This is a Wednesday night. What people are out waiting for us to care so they can rob us? Like, and secondly, we've got fuck all to rob. They're not the caravan. They've got to make the same treacherous drive. No one is up for this drive. Trust me.
Fuck that.
Nah, still made us move. Second that, I still remember playing paintball with her friends. Worst experience ever.
They were digging tunnels?
No one runs. Exactly. No one runs anywhere. Everyone just camps out. Camping. Just waits. And I'm the only person that goes, all right, fuck it, I'm going to try and make something happen. Done. Straight away.
Yeah, and that was your own team.
Well, you know, true to form. So, yeah. I don't know where I was going to end up with that one, but...
But anyway, so when I got these two games, I realized that how much the gaming experience has changed for me now. Because they're on PC, obviously.
Yeah.
Took me 3 hours to find all the mods I wanted, another 3 hours to download them all, and then to install them all and make sure they're all working.
Yep.
So yeah, before I actually got to play, it was another couple of days.
That's 90% of the game now. Like,
but I can't play without mods anymore.
No.
Yeah.
I got XCOM 2 a while back, and they made a Long War mod, which is pretty much a whole other game as well. There's mods for new weapons, new people, everything, and it's all for free.
Yeah, people, exactly. That's what
people are doing it just because they love gaming.
Yeah, good on.
And you know. Nothing better to do, I guess.
Anyway, and I bought Rocket League. I know you've always been talking about we're going to play it one day and make a Clicking Balls team. But anyway, I haven't played it yet, but I bought it. So
yeah, well, we can play the beginner league and we can talk shit to some 12-year-olds. Mark Hunt style.
Problem is those cunts beat you.
Yeah, I know, but we can win the shit-talking war. I don't know about the victory.
Absolutely. Oh, the Shao Sonnen.
Oh, yeah.
We can do that.
As you said, it was one of the closest rounds of all time. And I think somebody put up, we've had more games decided by less than a goal this year than any other year since the AFL era.
I believe it.
And there's still 7 rounds to go.
So I'm not fact-checking it, I'm just believing it.
I did see someone on Reddit put up, it's still mathematically possible for every team to finish on 11 wins and 100%.
Yeah, but that's just stupid. Why?
No, I won't. Collingwood need to lose by 202 points or something. I don't know.
But we'll start off on Thursday night last week, and Hawthorn, well, the first time I've ever tipped against Hawthorn by 100.
Yep.
And they get up by 14.
And we copped some shit for it too.
Yeah, I did. And deserved it. I mean, what else can you say when you tip against your side by 100 and they do it good?
I got 5 this week, and I was pretty happy with that.
But, that's amazing.
Some motherfucker got 8.
Nah, they're cheating.
And took over at number 1 in the office tipping comp. I'm pissed. Like, you get 8, you know fuck all. How the fuck are you even up there?
Exactly. That's somebody who's just taking the piss. Yeah. I think I got 4, and I was lucky to get them.
See, I use the same theory for my crap Super League percentage at the moment, which is I haven't won a game.
Yeah. how good was having Hodgie mic'd up?
Yeah.
They've done that a few times this year, and it's been absolute crap.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Oi!
Yeah, I think I remember Maxi Gorn got mic'd up in about round 3 or 4 or something. That's all he did. But, I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah.
I thought that was the first one where this is actually educational.
Yeah.
And gave people a different side to the game. And you see why, you know, the Hawthorn was so successful back in the day, because Sam Mitchell, Jordan Lewis would be exactly the same.
Yeah, he was telling off Tom Mitchell in the
fucking tore him dugout.
Yeah,
no, mate, you fucked up. Yeah. Go back and don't do it a fucking again.
Yeah.
Oh well, I wonder where he'll go next year then.
I think he might retire. He might be done.
Be coaching somewhere.
You'll go to media. So, what did you make of the game?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it looked like you can actually put some stock in the youngsters of the Hawthorn team. Obviously, it was the tagging out Sloan, like it's always been key to Crowe.
Daniel Howe to him.
Yeah.
Who's never tagged anybody in his life, as far as I know.
Did a decent job.
It was a team effort, too. They were always roughing him up around the stoppages. And, I mean, Sloan did kind of fall for it as well. He was trying to get even and, you know, just bully back a little bit. But really, you just got to be a couple of steps ahead and think about how you're going to get the next ball, because that's what forces them to be on the back foot as opposed to you being reactive.
Yeah. I mean, they've got some bigger bodies in the midfield that can go and be the protection for him. You know, what was his name? Charles Oakley to Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Way back in the day.
You know, even
the Brown to Ablett.
The Crouch brothers and Thompson, who's still in the playing in the sample. It looks like they've just put a line through him for the year, which doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, but for the Crows, I thought Greenwood was their best player.
He did brilliantly.
Yeah. Greenwood did play well, actually.
Kicked a couple of nice goals and gave the little wind-up on the side as well.
Yep.
I thought, mate, might wait until you're a little bit further in front for that.
That's exactly what I was thinking. But you can tell he's been planning that one for a long time, man. When this goal comes.
He's managed to pull off that amazing feat of being a mature age rookie and still looking 12 in the face. Such a baby face.
Yep.
And basketball background, of course, so, you know, he's got fans there already.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that if you finish in the top eight this year, anyone has got a chance to win this flag, because it's that open. If the Hawks can go across there and beat the Crows, then anything is possible. But they didn't do it I'm guessing you're the same as everyone else, where expecting that second half, all right, here we go. Yeah. The Crows are going to really put
especially
the foot down
the third
and turn around. Yeah. But they found a way to always stay in the game. And it wasn't like it was just one or two people. It was everyone just playing their part. Someone would fall off a little bit. Someone would pick up their pace. Like, even Roughhead in the forward line did lots of sort of goal assisting or things like that. Just that secondary efforts, which made a huge difference.
It was Burgoyne and Birchall, though. They made the difference. And Birchall, with his use of the ball, was just amazing. And Burgoyne is just the, keeps going from strength to strength.
They say wily veteran. Burgoyne is very much that.
Yeah.
Every time I saw him tackle, even after the player's disposed of the ball, he's put that player to the ground.
Yep.
But he's done it in such a way that the umpire won't quite give a free kick. I think he gave away one. But out of six tackles, which all of them were like that, it's pretty smart.
Yeah. And I found Hawthorn just played a really smart game and be able to nullify Adelaide's counter-attack game, which has been a very sort of one of their most legitimate sources of goal. Is it's that quick over the top, run down, and you get Jenkins with a free goal inside the goal square.
Watching the final quarter, though, it was astonishing how much Adelaide were not running.
Yeah, and that's it. They managed to shut it down. They always had to look sideways when they got the ball instead of going forward and knowing what the option was straight away.
But the amount of times Hawthorn got over the back of them, like if you're a backman and your opponent gets goal side by 10 metres, you fucked up.
Yeah.
And it happened repeatedly.
The last quarter was Hawthorne's biggest scoring quarter as well. So,
and just young legs running through that game, I thought. Yeah. Like Ryan Burton.
Yeah, after last week, and I said he's probably the favourite for the Rising Star, and he goes out and has his best game for the year.
Yeah, and decisively almost wins the game for him in that fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, standing Taylor Walker kicked just as many goals. So when your fullbacks kick just as many goals as their full forward, you've had a good night.
Yep.
He's not doing his role. speaking of young legs, Jackie Lever, can he play in the midfield occasionally?
Yeah, he does.
I think so,
$1 million!
And I tell you what, worth it too.
Yeah.
On to Friday night, and Essendon lost the unlosable.
Oh my God.
This
unbelievable.
Was fucking brilliant.
How good were they, first off, to get back into the game? Because they were dead and buried, nearly at three-quarter time.
Yeah,
And again at 15-minute mark of the fourth quarter, and again at the minutes to go of the fourth quarter.
Essendon were gone. With about 4 minutes to go in before three-quarter time.
Yeah.
Kicked the next six or seven in a row.
I think it was seven.
And went, we got this, we're done.
Yep. Put the cue on the rack.
We're good.
The funniest thing was at lunchtime, I was at the pub having a steak and a pint with a few of the lads at work, which is, great Friday tradition, I reckon. They had the 96 prelim on, which was the plugger
the
point
plugger
after
one.
The siren, which everyone will obviously remember. And to see that, which was, one of the fairy tale endings between those two teams, and then you see this again, and I think this was better. Like, granted, not a final, but in terms of excitement to the last second, fuck.
Yeah. It still sucks that a team that kicks 20 behind still gets rewarded with a win.
A little bit. But on that, I mean, like, Buddy kicked North goal 6.
Yeah.
But had a pretty good game.
I thought he did too. And like it always is, when Buddy's not kicking goals, he actually pushes up the ground and has effect.
Yeah.
Like, he's very good at setting up his other players. And with that midfield that runs straight through the middle and they're all goal kickers, it makes a big difference. Yep.
He's still in the Coleman race and he's leading the league in score involvements.
Yeah, really? Because the ball goes through him that bloody often.
Yeah.
Like, but he is Jordaning this fucker.
Yeah, yeah. He's, I still say he's one of the greatest of all time. The fact that he's, what is he, 31 now? Got 6 years to go.
He's only 31.
In terms of impact on the game, I honestly don't see how you could argue any full forward. And even at centre half forward, you'd have to put him against Carey. I think he's the more influential, especially in his 30s.
I think he might have more goals than Carey already.
I think he would have.
If not, he will have. Yeah. What is amazing is, you know, especially in that key position, he's still as good now as he was in 2008.
Mm. And he's really one of the last true, I mean, obviously he's full forward, but he can play that centre forward role with not actually being relevant at this point in time in the competition.
Well, it's the mobility for his size as well, and agility. Like, his first step is ridiculously fast. Like, it's NFL level.
Yeah,
and then you talk about his agility, and it's wide receiver,
and it's just—it's not going away.
Yeah,
it's just that's what's so amazing about
it. No, what a cunt!
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Instead of having centre forwards now, we've got just forward flanks become more prominent because your avenue to goal down the middle is not really there, and if it is, then you get slaughtered. So if you manage to push them wide, you need that mark outside on that forward flank to be able to set up your entries into the forward 50. And there's only people that can have that strength to have that pack mark and also have someone kick to in the forward 50. Which Sydney have seemed to do in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, well, Sydney have had a history of fantastic full forwards.
Yeah.
But in the modern game...
From other clubs.
Yeah.
All of them. But in the modern game, if you're picking a player to play now, of all time, still Buddy. Even though Plugger's in there, even though Barry Hall, Warwick Capper...
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I don't think...
Buddy Franklin's, even in their prime, better than them.
Maybe only Gary Ablett Sr.
Yeah.
Who could play today because of his athleticism.
Yeah,
but I mean, like Dunstall, Plugger, I don't think Modra.
I still think Gary Ablett Senior's area of influence was much, much narrower than Buddy Franklin's.
His years,
no, like as like in the zone, he could influence the game in, which was pretty much from the full forward line to the 50-meter arc. Whereas if you
take three dimensions, Ablett's would certainly higher.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And off the field, I reckon he was higher too.
Definitely higher.
Buddy might give him a shake.
Still no dead hookers in his hotel room, though.
Yeah, no.
I think she was a hooker.
The night's young. Night's young.
On a cleaner note, Isaac Heaney, I thought 21 touches is all he had, but he was clearly the best on ground.
Yeah, and not afraid to go there and start a bit of biff too. I mean, not actually throw the punches, but cause it.
Yeah,
he's got a little bit of mongrel about him, which I like.
He does. He's a little bit of arrogance.
I hated when it was against Richmond, but now I like it because we don't play them again. So,
what I also liked was the post-match. John Longmire has been criticised by people in this podcast about not having a plan B, and his plan B worked quite well. But in the post-match, he's gone, it was Dewey's idea to throw Reedy back there. He's like, mate, you've just upped his bargaining power for his job next year.
Yeah. I think Stuart Dewey's always had that ability as well as that price tag.
Yeah.
Because if you remember the 08 grand final, and they, same thing happened actually on the Sunday footy show. They said Clarkson, you know, moving Dewey forward, brilliant move in the third quarter.
Yeah. Goes,
I didn't tell him.
Yeah.
He just fucked off.
He just did it. He moved himself forward. Yeah.
The problem is, though, I think Longmire's talking about too much. He might have his job.
Wow, I'm saying there's a Collingwood job that might be up for grabs.
Yeah. And to be fair, that is 2 weeks in a row that Reed's played like sort of that very good stop back role where taking big marks in important positions.
But let's be honest, Essendon threw it away. They had four or five moments there that they go, that was the dumbest decision I could have made.
Yeah. I'm kind of pissed off, though, that even though Essendon fucked this up, still somehow, you know, people managed to hang shit on Richmond.
I did see that. There was a whole bunch of chatter about, Richmond away strip. Why have they put the red sash on?
Yeah. Like, Sydney playing Richmond twice in a row. No,
I'm like, this is what it feels like to be Richmond. I'm like, you're fucking Essendon. What are you talking about?
Fuck yourself. Yes. On the Saturday, Collingwood outclassed by Port, and Robbie Gray was really the difference.
Yeah.
Is he 5 goals, 6 goals?
Look, I'm not pretending I'm an AFL-level coach, but if some cunt's fucking playing like he does, put someone on him.
Didn't have a choice. They couldn't stop him.
Put two people on him. Fuck it.
They had no one, yeah. And I mean, see, obviously Collingwood are in a weird position where they're not getting the results that I think the squad really deserves, and it's just having the people in the park. So at what point do you switch it off and go, all right, we need to have some drastic changes here, because they've still got consistent performers. Like, Vasolo is still putting in his 100% effort every weekend, and they've still got people in the park that can build a team around them.
Yeah. Even in this, I think that they were just contained, though. I mean,
I
agree with you. Like, they've got the list they wanted. They're missing a couple of bookends.
Yeah, I don't think you can blame injuries 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
Well, if that is the case, then your training program is wrong.
Yeah, and you've got Grundy in the ruck, who's been having the best year of his whole season. Yeah.
I tell you what, that mark.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the second best mark of the year behind Howes. But for me, I like it better than Howes. And that might just because I've seen it before from Howe.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this from Grundy before. And that was amazing.
Yeah. Instrumental too in the whole game.
But yeah, I'm having a look at the stats here. The top six possession getters were all Collingwood, which just says that how sideways they had to go, how disciplined the defence was from Port.
Just pressure on the ball carrier.
I think too, the handball from the back of the stoppage has been a Western Bulldogs hallmark for last year. So teams have looked at that and then decided on ways to counter it, whereas some teams have looked at it and decided to emulate it. But every team's caught up with it now. So I think overusing the ball like Collingwood did just puts themselves under more pressure.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's changed to that sort of direct short passing now. There's a way to weave your way through there as opposed to the handball and run. And I figure you just jump over that wall that sort of creeped in closer to the actual contest.
Fuck, that's dangerously insightful.
Shit. It's the Kaiju Crush.
we best move on then.
Yeah.
The other game, we won't talk too much about it. The Lions and the Giants. I mean, Giants were too big, too strong, too powerful.
And none of us watched it, let's be honest.
No, I watched quite a bit of it. It was Brisbane were looking okay. They've looked embarrassing at stages, but this one, all right.
But I mean, once Beams has gone down, you're really left without much.
That was the problem. At the time, I thought it was a collarbone.
Yeah. Well, it looks like his shoulder, so he's looked like he's out for a month anyway.
So how many does Mumford get to paint a skull in his jersey or something? Another one?
He'd be running out of room, I think, by now. and Dylan Shield had another great one as well.
Yeah, he quality player. Like any team would love to have him in the side.
Yeah. And you're doing all right when you've got three blokes that kick four goals each. Cameron, Patton, and Green.
And one of them is Petrie. Oh, that's next game.
Later on, yeah.
Any more about Giants Lions?
No.
Heath Shaw. His, was it?
250?
Yeah.
The press conference is better than his game.
Yep.
He gets it. He's enjoying his footy, and fair play to him because he's in a fucking fantastic side. Yeah. He's in great form. I did see after the match he offered his Heath Shaw 250 boots, barely used, because he had a quiet one. It must be kind of great to enjoy the 250 games, but when you've had a shit 250th, you must kind of be like, lads, yeah.
But like you said, had a shit one, they won by 10 goals.
Yeah.
I think all he did is, thanks, lads.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I'm sure, how old is he? I'm going to say at his age, he couldn't give a fuck.
He's not that old.
He's happy to get out of there again and get away with the win.
Yeah, he must be 29. I'm guessing.
What do I know?
The thing is, pre-match, you would say, Giants letting Brisbane score 12 on them, that's above par. You wouldn't be happy with that as a backman. But when your team can rebound and score 22 goals, it takes the sting out.
Yeah.
You're not super fussed.
Does all right. And they crawl back to on top of the ladder again, the Giants, with that big win. On to Bulldogs versus North in the game that I decided to boycott because both teams were shit last week. Turns out they put on an all right game.
Oh, look, the problem was that there were 19 men on the field for the Bulldogs and only 18 men all.
Oh, we're going that route, are we?
Oh, honestly, I can't see how anyone can argue it. Look, I'm not... no bias.
I'll argue against it, even though I didn't watch it.
It's not a bias factor because umpires umpire as they see it. I've no doubt that they're professionals they can be. But the thing is, when you've got three umpires and one umpire is in charge of a zone in the forward 50 and he's paying everything and the other umpire down the other end isn't as likely to pay, then that team has an advantage. And Chris Dolan was doing this all fucking night. At one stage, it was 16-2 that he was paying to the Bulldogs North, which when your area of operation is in the Bulldogs forward 50, it's going to happen. Forwards get more free kicks than backs. It's just the way it happens.
And when you're a Bulldog member...
Yeah. I don't know. But, honestly, some of the calls were utterly baffling. Some were there, but weren't being paid in the reverse. For example, in the first quarter, there was Thompson chopped someone's bicep, which is absolutely there, happened. But then three kicks later, it's down the other end, and Magic Door gets hit in the bicep by a guy looking the other way, and nothing's paid. That makes more than a point difference, as far as I'm concerned. And then you've got the Higgins incident, which... when you've got the ump 45 metres away, counting down, because there's no shot clock on the board, Higgins can't hear it. Stringer's closer to the ump, hears it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favourite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Runs in, tackles him. Doesn't even know he's there.
Why was the shot clock not on the board?
Because it's less than 2 minutes to go.
Oh.
They don't do it there because Ben Brown fucked it up for everyone.
No, it was Mason Wood.
Oh, Mason Wood, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know the actual rule on which is the controlling umpire, but generally it would be the umpire closest to the ball, yeah?
You would have thought so, yeah.
The umpire on the mark doesn't say shit until... Higgins has already started his run-up. Then he calls play on. And while Stringer's one step away from him. And to be fair, Stringer was pretty kind. He could have fucking killed him.
Yeah.
But he sort of tackled and went to his knees rather than just speared.
You almost start laughing before you tackle him in that situation.
Like, hey, you're like, oh, motherfucker. And look, I'll be honest, I've done a few of those.
Yep.
They were some of my favourites.
Yeah.
But look, in all honesty, it's probably the best result for North because they can show something. They can still drop down to second draft pick and they can find someone else to blame for the loss. So Brad Scott's loving life. This is perfect for him.
I did notice that Majak, is that his first game for the year or certainly his first game for a long time?
I think it is his first of the year.
Again, I was surprised that they went for him in front of Proust, but he must really have something against Proust.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think they're already tanking. the other thing too, I noticed Goldstein nowhere near the leap that you expect. Magic Door has a decent leap, don't get me wrong, but he was at least a foot and a half taller in the leap than Goldstein was. So I think Goldstein's ankle's still fucked. And even just before the match, there was talks of him spinal not soreness. So
spinal soreness. Jesus Christ,
fucking hell.
So look. I honestly don't know what they're trying to do, but it's not win at all costs.
Sounds like a Tito Ortiz injury.
So I honestly don't know why they're not resting Goldie. Maybe they're trying to move him on. I don't know.
Well, even though I boycotted that game on principle, and it turned out all right, it wasn't a bad decision because I got to watch West Coast versus Melbourne instead. What a fantastic finish. And I think that all... what do you call them, impartials watching this game. Yeah. They're on Melbourne a little bit. Towards the end. When you kick in the winning goal, Tom McDonald, he's fifth for the day as well.
Yeah.
To just throw it up there and my boot will
find
it.
Made a meal of it. Plus gave like a don't argue, didn't work, fuck it, still rolling with it. Yep. Just turn my back, throw it on the boot, and see how we go.
It looked like opposite hand to the boot.
Yep.
Good enough. If it goes through the middle, it does not matter.
Yeah. I think he knows if Gary Rowan is capable of it, then he's surely got a good chance.
What a goal. It deserves goal of the week just for that.
Just on pure, how the fuck did you do that?
Yeah. Was it Oliver that's in for facial reconstructive surgery?
This was the biggest talking point of the round, I think, was the flop from Oliver. That Will Schofield got reported and suspended for at least one match for.
Who got reported and suspended?
Will Schofield.
For that hit?
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow.
Two down to one.
How did that come? How?
If you view it from a certain angle in slow-mo, he does touch the chin, and the chin moves.
Right.
So he did get him on the chin. He did elbow him, got him high. I don't think he got shot from the grassy knoll like Clayton Oliver.
Yep.
And I love that all the people go out there defending him like, oh, you don't know what it's like, you're hit by the chin. I think everybody's been hit by the chin, haven't we?
Yeah. Playing AFL footy, you'll get hit by the chin eight times a game.
I think, you know, in peak hour traffic, peak hour on the trains, rather, you get hit on the chin.
Yeah.
I've never collapsed to the ground.
I have once, and it was blue-on-blue fire, literally, because we were both played for the blue team. I remember going for a ball, and I had the right of way. I was going towards goal. Another guy tried to get possession. We clashed heads. Both got knocked out. He goes off. I got sent to centre-half back. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I can hardly stand up. Nah, he was like the more important player.
But yeah. That's a head clash.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like what Joel Selwood would happen. But
yeah,
I'm not saying he dived, but he certainly made the most of it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he dived.
Yeah.
It was a huge dive. Huge dive.
Look, did it touch his chin? Yeah. But
have some fucking balls.
How you can be touched on the left side of your chin and fall to the left?
So you're saying...
It's a grassy knoll conspiracy.
Back into the left.
Second shooter.
You reckon there was a second elbow?
And look,
what
I think happened, Buddy Franklin, the week before, managed to focus his key enough to put Alex Rance on his ass by barely touching him. I think he was watching this game, sent his energy through the TV channel and just knocked Oliver. He knows I'm going to play on him later. Fuck him.
So you're saying Buddy deserves a week as well?
I think he does. I think for his...
you know they're not playing North this week.
Oh, fuck him then.
Delayed suspension.
That was a fiery game, though, with plenty of hard stuff around the ball. And Jack Viney was the focus for the camera crew. And, well, every time he got hit, he'd go off. And now I'm right, fuck this, I'm back out there.
Keeps going, yep.
Every week Melbourne's doing this. They've decided to make unsociable football their hallmark. And it's working for them.
It is. I mean, this is a great win. West Coast over there.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few people, as you mentioned, like they're a very good chance to play finals now. Better than even money, probably. And a few people have said, you know what, they've got the list that can go all the way. Might be a little premature on that one, but anyway.
Honestly, there's probably 10 teams with a list that could go all the way.
Yeah.
Number one's still GWS. Their list has more depth than anyone else.
Of course it does.
And but, I feel it's not about the top tier one players, but the tier two players filling out that squad. Well, there's still a bit more from Jaden Hunt, who I thought has shown his promise.
He's done all right, but I mean, Frost down back was brilliant.
Yeah.
A lot of run from him as well. He just takes it on.
Yeah.
It's working for him.
And at no stage should you allow Drew Petrie to kick four goals, ever.
How about that? Like, geez, he could put his hand up for best on ground.
Yeah.
Four goals straight, 19 possessions, and 8 marks, 3 tackles.
I can say, and they were good marks.
Yep.
The majority of them. There was obviously a few loose, but some of them were, you know, full pace, in traffic.
Yeah.
He had a great game.
I remember hearing a while back, he actually owned the record for most contested marks in a game.
Yeah, he did.
It was about 4 years back, but he's always been a decent mark. He's been a fairly ordinary kick for a fair while, but this is his best game for West Coast, easy, and probably his best game of the last 4 years.
Go close. From my point of view, too, it was good to see that the ball ended up in Jordan Lewis's hand when the siren was sounded. But anyway... it was a great win by Melbourne. They had a big win in the VFL as well, the Casey Scorpions. Knocked off the undefeated Box Hill Hawks. Who's their big draft pick? It's not Wiedering. I think it's Wiedemann.
Wiedemann.
He had a great game. Yep. Kicked, I think, 5 in the first half.
Really? Actually,
Salem was pretty good too, but now he's out.
He's gone.
Yeah. Which is...
done his hammy.
He's a funny one. He was a liability last week. And this match, he was brilliant.
Turned around.
Those guys to come around, yeah.
Onto the Sunday, and the Heartstoppers kept going. Fremantle threw one away against the Cats. It was interesting, the narrative for this game, because Geelong lost Joel Selwood very early.
Yeah.
And it's been a good few years since he's had a concussion, but I do remember he used to have them every sort of 3 weeks.
Yeah, yep.
So he's had a few. So
the way he plays, it's kind of...
Yeah. Not expected.
Inevitability.
Yeah. So he might, I reckon he might miss a week.
I hope so, just for the sake that he's had that many knocks to the head that it cannot be good. The accumulation of all these different cuts and when you look at like, not that I've checked the research myself, but all those in the know have said that it's actually very, very fragile how easy it is for your brain to have those, I believe they call them like micro concussions, where it's just your brain sloshing around inside, it's fluid inside your head. And just those little things, like they say the boxing sparring is the worst thing for you, that's your fighting, because it's just constant little knocks.
Knock.
And you're not afraid of it, you've got a helmet on, so you're not really scared of having those little knocks. But it's literally just your brain sloshing around your head that creates all that damage and creates dark spots in your brain.
Yeah.
So you hope you have some time off. And really, I mean, you need months off to recover from that shit.
Yeah. He definitely needs a week off, I think. Not that I'm a doctor or examine him at all, I just watch it on TV. Yep. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I've watched... doctor show, so I'm pretty sure that he should take
I've listened to Doc Reed, he gets everything wrong, so I feel, you know.
I've heard of Doctor Who. Now, Freo, I mean, they should have run away with this, really, and the commentary was following it all the way that, you know, Cats were down, you know, they lost Darcy Lang as well, and I think somebody else got injured.
Yeah.
So they were down to one or two on the bench by the end of it. So 20 less interchanges.
Yep.
Or 25 less than Freo. But Freo, just right at the end, they let them back in and they ran out of puff, which is amazing considering they had everything going for them.
I mean, except Fife.
It's either that or they really showed their determination for draft picks.
Yeah. Well, no Fife, no Sanderlands going into the game. Yeah. Which,
although the the ruckman, what's his name?
Darcy, I think.
He had a brilliant one.
Yeah, you're right. He battled.
For a first gamer. For a
first gamer, exactly.
I think he had 40 hitouts.
40, about that.
Yeah.
Which was...
40 flat. Brilliant debut.
Yeah, more than you can ask for him. Nothing wrong with that at all.
But Zach Tui stepped up in Selwood's absence.
Picked up
28 or 30 odd possessions or something, got 20 kicks. So, yeah, Geelong's still got that depth there that doesn't really matter. If one or two of them go down, they can still pull through.
And when it counted, Dangerfield just went, this is not happening.
Yeah, which I mean, it's just been his trait for pretty much his whole career. Good luck catching him.
Good to see Ballantyne back as well to his irritating best.
That's what he does.
Yeah, every team's got their little shit. I think he's the little shit of about seven teams.
Yeah, especially Geelong. Geelong have always had a long history of hating on Ballantyne.
Yeah.
So remember when Scarlett just whacked him across the face once.
Yeah.
You see, he's like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to do weeks for that.
Oh, well. He's like, make it worth it.
Well, Scarlett is known as being a cunt, so...
He was indeed. Now, Walters, though, I thought had a great game, but he's missed the pot shot from 25 out dead in front.
Yep.
He's going to have a long time to think about it.
That is a tough thing to recover from. I mean, if...
In a game this close, yeah.
If Travis Cloak couldn't come back from the yips, then Walters might struggle as well. I mean,
had a great game.
Yeah. And should have sealed it. And that could be like the season-turning sort of personal... moment that really changes, you know, how you go for the rest of the year.
Well, speaking of Cloak, he's taken some time off for mental health issues, apparently.
A good idea.
Yeah, we might have seen the last of him.
Yep, maybe.
Well, he's still contracted for next year.
Yeah, but is he getting in the side?
Well, he was in the side.
He's a depth player.
Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, now that Redpath's back, if I were at the Bulldogs, I'd pick Redpath ahead of him.
Yeah.
On age. I know it's a bit shitty, but... Yeah, just on age alone.
I actually quite like Cloak. I think he's when he's on, he's a fantastic player, and he's one of the few with that long bomb kick.
I like him because I felt so...
When he's on, the big caveat there.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I like him because I felt so fucking sorry for him now. I feel terrible for him.
Well, I do like him a lot more since leaving Collingwood.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. I like the full forwards that have that long bomb kick, and he's probably one of the few left.
Yep. And he tries so hard, and he tries everything, even putting that shit on his shirt.
Yeah, always.
Tried the gloves, he's trying everything.
That's something that used to annoy me about him, was the resin.
Yeah, that goop.
Because he'd go right in the middle of his Guernsey when he was at Collingwood. It was always on the white stripe.
Yeah.
Like, mate, let's just make it look dirty.
Yeah, it's like he sneezed.
Put it on the black stripe.
Your mum's going to have to wash that.
It just doesn't look professional.
Yeah. But most of his shit's in between his head.
Oh, of course it is, yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, the Dockers shouldn't have let him back in, and then should have kicked that goal.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the crux of it.
But I mean, this means that Geelong's just about a shorter top four finish now.
Yeah.
And they're going to be hard to beat come to September.
Nah, see, I still don't rate them as a premiership chance.
They're going to be hard to get. If you're going to win the premiership, you're going to have to go through them.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah. I just think they're in the same boat as Adelaide, that when it comes time for finals, the extra physical pressure, I think will expose them. But hey, I'm not going to put money on any team to win the flag at the moment, because there's about 14 of them pop up.
The good thing about the grand final is there's got to be at least two teams that make it through.
Yep. So,
because at the moment, any team could fall over.
Yep, that's true.
All right, onto their Tigs. For all money, it looked like they were going to just do what Richmond does and let Carlton go over the top.
Absolutely.
They were spraying kicks left, right and centre at one stage.
It was lucky Carlton played shit too.
Yeah. Really.
They did help you out. Although Cruiser, he has had a blinder of a month.
Killing it.
Yeah.
Killing it.
I think on the back of that too, Nank has had a bad month.
Mm. Yeah.
After being so good for so long during the year. Then he got that little suspension.
Yeah.
And he's come back and he's just... I don't know if he's run into better opposition.
He might be carrying a nickel too.
I think people's paying attention to him now. Like, might be one of those things that you have to actually consider in a game plan against the Tigers.
Yeah, ruckman are always injured.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not the most naturally talented ruckman. He's just filled in a lot of roles around the ground as opposed to in the actual ruck.
He's had great hands.
But yeah, there's still lots of liabilities. Caddy's still not sure about. Have lots of mistakes that were really costly.
Doesn't he? Like, he gets himself in such good positions.
Yeah.
And gets the ball in dangerous positions and then just overcooks it.
Yeah, maybe he's used to having much more talented people around him or something. I don't know. But he really struggled.
No, I don't think that's it. I think Caddy's just, he's trying to be Ablett when he's not.
I mean, I feel like Presti really hit his straps in the last 3 or 4 weeks as well. Yeah. He started to actually find what his slot in that team is. And it's not having to be that out-and-out ball winner. It's that connective player that really opens up the freedom of us to run. He doesn't have to be in and under all the time. I feel like him and Koch have figured out their little dance around each other.
Well, I think Presti is sort of the barometer of the side, really. Because when he's on, Richmond look $1 million.
Well, he's taken over Lids' number. So.
Yeah, this is true. So I feel like, yeah, I was really sceptical. When the Tigers, I think it were like 6-11 or something like that, and now 5-6, you're like, all right, I can see how we're losing this game. I can see where it's going. I'm just lucky that Carlton didn't actually turn up for a quarter, really. They didn't really do a whole lot. And they're lucky to be in the game because Richmond didn't put their foot down. I feel like Carlton's just... bit of waste opportunity, especially when going inside 50. I felt they wasted in that second half, whereas in the first half they weren't too bad. But I think the Tigers are lucky to get away with this one.
I think it just ran out of gas, to be honest. Carlton are a very young side and looks promising. But this isn't their season.
They were one down on the bench. Because Basher Hooley's had a great... He's turned his career around, I thought. He's really had a great...
In this game as well, besides the obvious.
He played a great game.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be there for the next month.
Nope, he's done.
I've never seen somebody knocked out with a backhanded fist like that.
Yeah, the last one was like Matt Serra.
It's a Shawnee Carter. Yeah. A spinning back fist, just about.
Yep.
He is unlucky, which is... A weird thing to say when he's knocked out Jed Lamb. Yeah. And knocked him out cold.
Have they put down the penalty yet?
No, it's high and intentional, so it goes straight to the tribunal.
Ooh, intentional?
Yeah. He meant to swing that fist.
Yeah.
You can say all you like, well, I didn't mean to hit him in the face. Like, you meant to swing your fist, you meant to hit him.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you meant to hit him in his arm or in his leg, you got him in the chin and you knocked him the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, like you're done.
There's little defense to it.
And it was kind of lucky that it was kind of behind play and no one saw it, so it wasn't a huge fight afterwards. Because if someone had saw what actually happened, then it would have been on for Young and Old, surely.
Actually, that was hilarious too, because he got the boost from the crowd, which you'd expect because it would have been shown on the replay screen half a million times. And Luke Hodge was doing special comments. They said, so Hodge, when something like that's happens, the boos, do they last a week or two or just the one team? He goes, nah, pretty much the rest of your career. You're asking the right bloke. Yep.
Well, special comments, expert commentary there.
He's had a good weekend.
He's listened to the boos from West Coast for Tyre Vickery, so he knows.
Yeah, every team's got them. So I got a feeling that Bash is going to get booed by Carlton fans for a while to come.
Well, let's be honest, the whole Richmond squad does, so yeah.
Usually when it's Richmond v Carlton, it's the Richmond fans doing the booing of the Richmond players.
We usually keep our own in close proximity. Richmond will boo the Richmond players and Carlton will boo the Carlton players because they're both shit.
But not to give Basher the good bloke defence, but he's having a great run. It's just unlucky that he caught him high.
Yep.
Look, he just has to buy one of our T-shirts, rock it up when he's got the...
MIP, that's it. MIP's a certified good bloke.
Yeah, and it'll be 2-1.
Check the website. But again, Richmond did enough to get over the line, but they're going to have to find something else now without him, without his drive.
One of the other things I thought was positive was Castagna turning around and having a very game in 50. And it wasn't so much I think he's realised that his set shot wasn't that great, so he started to play on. And he's either creating an opening for another player or he's kicking goals through the middle. So I thought that was a good little sort of advancement from last week for him.
Levi took some big grabs again.
Yeah.
Sprayed only the one, I think. From memory, but otherwise it wasn't too bad. I'll tell you who has been disappointing this year for the Tigers for me is Shane Edwards.
Yeah.
He hasn't kicked on, really, has he?
I feel like he just hasn't had that confidence after those injuries that he's had. Yeah. He's never really come back and sort of figured out his place in the team. And I feel like there's a lot more competition for his role in the team now as well, which generally here was like him, Matty White, and players like that. We had one or two pacemen, and that was it. Yeah. Whereas now our game is a pace game. We've got lots of young kids who are coming up challenging his position. So he's definitely going to step it up if he wants to keep in that team.
All right, we move on to the last game, Saints Suns. Terrible time slot. Nobody was there to watch it. You guys haven't watched much of it.
No.
I mean, the focus here was it was going to be Gary Ablett's 300th. Then he pulled out. The Saints did a great job making up their banner. Saints are the banner leaders this year. They, what Danny McGidley has done for the league to bring the banners
smart
up.
Smart, sorry.
I mean, they've overtaken him, but he's like... he's the one that started.
He got the ball rolling. Yeah.
He's the Elio Gracie.
Banner riding.
Now they've got Hicksons out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've done well. Jack Billings.
Looks
like he's going to be an absolute superstar. He's had another great one.
And they've got lots of people who are in contention for putting their hand up to be the next real Saint leader.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's sort of shone through at the moment. but they've still got plenty of contention. I mean, they still haven't got Goddard back for, I think he's out again for 4 or 5 weeks.
I think he's done.
Yeah, shit. So, yeah, maybe it's going to be Billings going to put himself to the 4.
McCartan, did he get knocked out this week or last week? Yet another concussion.
Oh, shit, really?
Another one, yeah. Oh, which means God. You just got to go, mate, you're done for the year.
Yeah, you have to.
You've got to really look at what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, are you playing wrong or is it bad luck?
Yeah.
And do you need to find another career?
Yeah, you need to get a degree and then figure out what you're doing.
Figure out what else is going on. But it means that you wait another week for Gazza.
Yeah, which is pretty, yeah.
It means you can play.
It's annoying because we'd like to see Gazza
at home instead.
Yeah.
Maybe did that intentionally. Or they just like Gazza to fuck North over again.
And he will. All right, so let's do a quick look at round 15. Oh, yeah. We'll update after this. Friday night at the MCG, Melbourne versus Sydney. Decent game, I reckon.
That'll be a cracker of a game.
It's going to be a brilliant one. I honestly might attend this one because it looks like it'll be great match to watch. Like, you've got Gorn back in, and he looks in good form as well.
He's a little bit rusty, but, you know, good to see him back out there. Mm. The enthusiasm was there, and certainly the energy.
Yeah, we had that big punch in the last quarter that helped him get ahead.
Massive.
He's very smart.
He's still not doing too bad. Can run out 4 quarters, and that's all you need from Ruckman.
I mean, he's probably the smartest Ruckman going around, which isn't saying a lot.
Like I say, now that Will Minson's retired, or forcibly retired. Who's winning? It's a tough one to pick now.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of the different variables, like being a Friday night, obviously lots of eyes on there, MCG, it's dark, it's dewy.
6 day break coming back from Perth.
Yeah.
And I think it's their third 6 day break in a row for Melbourne.
And can they absorb that? No, I feel like they're...
The thing is, I think Melbourne are going to scrag it. Their physicality has been massive in the last few months, and I think it's going to continue. I don't know if the Sydney Swans can stand up to that in the midfield. Like, not in terms of pure ability, their midfield's best.
Yep.
But in terms of sheer assholery, I think they're ahead.
So Melbourne got the bigger assholes, is what you're saying.
No, I would say Melbourne are bigger pricks.
Melbourne got to buy an asshole.
They are bigger assholes, now they got bigger pricks too.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Sometimes, what are they drinking down there? Well, the
I reckon Sydney are just on a roll. I think they've got a sniff of finals now, and they're not going to stop. They'll run over D's. I think the emotion of last week, we'll get to the D's.
Yeah, I'm in a tough position. I'm thinking Melbourne haven't had many Friday night games, have they? Not really had a big stage game, so I feel like maybe a little bit of... But I don't know if they're susceptible to stage fright. I think they're the D's in the close one. I reckon under a goal for the D's.
Oh, it'll be another brilliant match.
Bulldogs and West Coast at Etihad.
Fuck knows.
Yeah, like, really, who's going to play? Who's rocking up?
West Coast away have been great or shit, and Bulldogs everywhere have been great or shit. So,
ditto. Yeah.
So great or shit.
This game could be great or shit.
Could literally be anything, but I'll go the Bulldogs just because it's in Melbourne.
Yeah, I think the Bulldogs too. Especially Etihad, they play it so well.
Who's John Petrie?
Yeah. Well, that's the silly thing. If Josh Kennedy's back, he was meant to be back last week, so if he wasn't back, he could come in this week. Petrie might be...
It would happen. Like, it does suck that you kick 4 and, you know, put your hand up for almost best on ground.
Too, wasn't it?
Yeah, 4 flat.
Yeah.
And get dropped. But, hey, he's still getting paid.
Yeah, he's not going to complain. Yeah, I think the Bulldogs get across the line. I don't think it'll be a pretty game. I don't think either are playing real pretty footy at the moment.
No, they're not. Carlton and Adelaide at the MCG. Adelaide have to bounce back, don't they?
There's no way Carlton should win this, so they will.
Yeah.
I'm on Carlton for my roughy.
I think if Kerno smacks Sloan in the first opening bounce, then they've got a chance. If not, Adelaide.
Wiedering on Walker would be a good one. I don't think they'll go with it, but you will spend some time on him there. The Suns versus North up there in Gary Ablett's 300th, maybe. If Gary plays, I think they win by 10 goals.
Yeah, I think the Suns got across the line. They've been playing good footy and just not getting results because they're not good enough.
Yeah.
But I still think what they've been doing is right. I don't think they've had that many sort of missteps. It's just they're lacking a bit of talent at the moment. So I kind of agree, yeah.
I think the best version of North blast them off the park. The worst version could get smacked by 100 points. So somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
Give us a lot. All right, match of the round. You've got the Giants are hosting Geelong.
Oh, shit. On my screen, it was Port versus Richmond.
What, match of the round?
Match of the round. Well, it could still be. Although I'll give you a tip. I'm not tipping Richmond in that one. Giants, I think, without Selwood for the whole game, That means that they can focus all their energies on Dangerfield.
Dangerfield.
But having said that, their midfield is just too varied and too good. I think the Giants.
I think the Giants are untaggable. They've got six midfielders you need to look out for.
Yeah, I think the Giants get across the line. I think it could just be like, I don't know, what sort of blocks they work in regards to their sort of effort. I think this could be one where Geelong say, we can just have a little nap on this one and rejuvenate, recharge, not send necessarily a full-strength team across spotless.
So not tanking, but you reckon just take the hit on this?
Yeah, just take the hit. Come back for your next four matches and reassess.
I think Geelong do the same. I don't think they'll rush Josh Kelly back in.
Of course not.
I think they know they're playing finals. So making finals isn't a goal for them anymore. It's winning.
Yeah.
And Brenton's match of the round, Port hosting the Tigers. I think Port might be in for a good one here.
But again, they're such variable sides. Both sides at their best will put on an absolute fucking great match, and it could come down to the wire. At their worst, it'll be just terrible to watch. So I'm having a good match, but I still think Adelaide Oval, it's too good, and Port will have it.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm tipping the Tigers, but if we can lose within 10 goals, I think that's good.
Yeah. Port are still looking for their first win against the top eight side, so they'll be looking for this one.
Could be it.
Essendon are hosting Brisbane at Etihad Stadium. Nobody's going to watch that game. Essendon will win.
I'm on Brisbane for this.
Oh, all right, throw money away.
Just because I
it makes no sense.
Just because I got 4-1.
Just because it's a stupid match that Brisbane should be completely outclassed travelling away against Essendon, which have been a pretty decent side of late. So Brisbane will probably win because that's that kind of fucking season.
And by the way, Ben, you were wrong by half. $7.50 they're paying.
Oh, really? Jesus.
Hawthorn and Collingwood at the MCG. Interesting game, that one.
Yeah, this is going to be very good for... I mean, it's going to be a throwback to what we used to expect from a good game, which was Hawks-Collingwood MCG-style clash. I think this is going to be interestingly average.
Was it Langford that did the run with last week?
No, it was Howe.
Howe, that's... do you reckon he goes to Treloar?
Well, I mean, if he's done all right 1 week, why wouldn't you try it again?
No, keep going with it.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's going to be a fascinating game. Hopefully there's a big crowd there, because it'd be interesting for if you got 70,000 to a 13th v 16th game.
Yeah. But with Hawks coming off beating the number one team in the Crows, then I think, you know, there's no reason for them not to rock up for this one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Collingwood always there, so...
Well, and, you know, if Hawthorn supporters are thinking, look, it's not our year, should I turn up on a cold Sunday
arvo,
this could be the knife in Buckley's back. So, look, if you are petty enough after a nice premiership run and all that sort of thing to want to just bookend it with knowing that you've got Buckley sacked, turn up. And, look, I'm not judging. I'd probably turn up if I was a Hawthorn supporter.
I'd knife Buckley too.
Yeah, I might turn up just to watch and see if Buckley can get fucking sacked.
On that, Eddie did say in the President's Lunch on Sunday that Bucks is coaching next year regardless.
Right.
Might not be his choice, Eddie, by the way, but anyway.
Where is he coaching?
Yeah, good question. And finally, Frio are hosting the Saints at Domain Stadium. Saints don't travel very well. So, I know part of me thinks that Frio had their hearts broken last week, but if Fife and Sandilands play, they could actually put on a bit of a hurting against the Saints.
It's tough. Saints could go across there with no pressure at all. And I think the Saints, without any pressure, are not a bad squad. But they play better. Saying that, I'm going for Freer.
I think if Sandilands is there, he's going to manhandle motherfuckers.
Yeah.
It will get nasty. And if Fife's back too, you know, he's a super player.
Yeah.
I don't think you can stop him.
With those two plus the two Hills running down the wings, it's going to be hard to stop Freer.
Yeah,
no, I'm on Freo by at least 7 goals.
All right, the last thing, we'll give a small update on the footy, the 1980 grand final footy. No response from the club yet, but we have had a few little insights, so there might be some movement there. But nothing to report back yet, but we might be getting something.
They might think we're full of shit or something, so it might take a little bit of open line of questioning first.
I mean, I put up all the photos.
Did we tell them the whole story about how we've got the names and how... got an
I did in an email, but I wrote an email to the club with their email address that was on the website, and I haven't had a response in over a week.
Yeah.
So I don't think they read it, or this Reddit went, well, whatever, fuckers.
Yeah.
But our mate...
I know there's someone reading this going, fucking Richmond fans, crazy cunts.
Our mate Richie knows a few people, and he's been doing some work for us. So.
Oh, Bricktop.
You didn't have the word microwave in there, did you? Immediately junk mail.
All right, that'll do us for this week. We'll hear from you again next week.
Yeah,
hopefully it's as good as last weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good one.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.